What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, she is here, the host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show, our friend from RE/MAX Results and the Red Hot Real Estate Group, Miss Mimi Shoneman. Hello.
Good morning, Miss Shan.
I am so happy to see you. Also, always very happy to see my friend Phil Olson from Cross Country Mortgage. Hello, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
So we need to hit this button.
Good morning, guys.
And let's get your NMLS number out of the way, please, Phil.
NMLS 238103, company NMLS 803095, Cross Country Mortgage.
So what's going on out there in our Twin Cities state of the real estate market? Big sigh.
Yes.
Does that mean because a lot is going on?
Well, you know, it's the same story, different day.
Okay.
We just need more product. We just need more inventory. We just need people to move. And we need people to let our buyers buy their houses.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
Well, I mean, what part of the reason, like, how do we help, and we're going to cover some of this today, is how do we help people feel confident that now is the time for them to be able to have that movement? Is it that things are so tight that people are just leery to make that jump in comparison to what they had done before?
Well, you know, Phil, I'd like to hear your opinion about that from the mortgage side.
I actually think that we are starting to see a little bit of a slowdown mm-hmm. out there. I think we're starting to see some properties that are starting to stay on the market a little bit longer. But I do think we've got some forces out there that are causing people to maybe take pause.
Right.
You know, one of those might be, well, I'm at 2.5% right now on my 30-year fix.
Mm-hmm.
And why would I want to sell my house and take an interest rate of 4.75%, you know, but here's what I have seen in the last just 2 weeks. I've had two clients call me and they're concerned about gasoline prices.
Okay.
And
yeah.
They're going, hey, we're commuting now an hour. And oh, by the way, we were paying $2.30 a gallon for fuel. And now we're paying what we're paying
almost
now.
Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We need to move closer to work. So
which is interesting, because a lot of the conversation we were having last year where people were going, well, I'm still working from home, I can live anywhere, so people were comfortable moving out, and now we're like, well, maybe I need to move back in.
Yep.
And that's why I'm so glad that we do this show on a regular basis, because
things change
and they change not overnight, but they do seem to ebb and flow over, like, there's a reason why Mimi does her guides on a quarterly basis, is that mm-hmm. things do shift enough sometimes over 3 to 4 months that we're like, oh, we're having a different conversation now.
Well, so it changes because we're human.
Yes.
And because our lives ebb and flow. We don't stay the same. We're always evolving, and things happen in our lives that will go, well, that wasn't really what I was expecting.
Absolutely.
And so now I need to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, somebody getting pregnant.
Yes.
And, you know, that changes your life
right.
immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So
for me, it's I honestly, you and I've talked to you both about this. My kid went through a growth spurt. And I'm like, oh, wait, we're running out of room. You know, right. like it never had occurred to me, because he was cute and tiny.
Right.
Now he's grown. But I'm like, well, how is this going to happen?
But look, think about back when, you know, you were just you, and then all of a sudden you were you and he.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff that you accumulate for one extra person
yes.
that has to go someplace.
Right.
Right. And so I always like to talk to people about planning for their 5, 7, and I guess maybe even 10-year plan. Because why would you do something based on your 1-year plan when you could do it for your 10-year plan?
Right.
And then save money. Like, for instance, if you know with more certainty than not that you're going to outgrow where you're currently looking. So let's just say that you decided you wanted to get your first starter home.
Yes.
And you're like, well, this is my budget for my starter home. I qualify for a lot more, but this is my comfort zone because I've always been a renter.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to buy something because I'm used to what renting feels like.
Right.
But in 10 years, is that going to be, Is that going to be a good move or not a good move?
So are you spending money twice sometimes then? Is that what you mean?
Are you going to have to turn around in 2 years and sell and buy again?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When you could have just done it one time if you had planned properly.
Fair enough.
Well, I mean, this goes to one of my stats that I brought in. One of the top cited reasons for buying a home is that rents are rising. Fixed mortgage is essentially a rent control for a household.
Fair enough.
Meaning you're fixed. Your payment is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Rents year over year, the last 2 years have gone up 16% both years for a total of 32% nationwide. Now, one of the things, the fears that people have is they're going, well, rates are going up. And here's my comeback. My comeback is, folks, you work with me, we're going to put together a mortgage based on budget.
Right.
All right. So if the mortgage payment I put together for you is affordable, it doesn't make a difference if your interest rate was 10%.
Mm-hmm.
With the same understanding, I'll bet you all right now here in the studio that within 3 to 4 years, we're going to see another mortgage refinance boom.
Right.
And interest rates are going to go from the fives back down to the fours or the threes. And it's at that point in time we can make that mortgage more affordable.
Right.
Okay. And if we take a look at statistics over the last four elections,
mm-hmm.
we're talking presidential elections, every one of those elections, mortgage interest rates dropped.
Okay.
Why do you think that happened?
Fear. Unknown.
I was going to say,
uncertainty.
I would say the uncertainty up to them. And then once we settle in, then we go, all right, here's where we are.
How about making that current administration look better?
Okay. So whoever it is, we want to look better. Fair enough. That absolutely makes sense.
Whatever reason, if it goes down, we're all happy. So.
I don't know what the reason is, but mm-hmm. in the four last presidential elections, mortgage interest rates dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So all right. Let's talk about something you and I were talking about before we came in here. And that is we're seeing some properties sit on the market a little longer. I find that to be so fascinating, honestly, because it really just... you know, you'll take one property, it doesn't really even matter where it is, and then it'll be on for like a minute and with multiple offers, and then all of a sudden you see a house that's in a good location and mm-hmm. that appears to be priced well, but and good traffic during the showings, but it just sits there for a little bit longer than a minute. And so then you say to yourself, should I see that house? Should I not see that house? What are they seeing that I haven't seen? And, you know, must be something because, you know, it's just that thing in your mind, you're programmed to say, well, I'm prepared for it to be madness.
Right.
And when it doesn't happen, what is it about it that causes that?
Is it worth saying that it wasn't, I mean, one of the things that you both mentioned is that we'll say over the last... not quite 2 years, because time flies, that the market was much more tense and crowded than it had been in years, both of you had said. Like, normally, it wasn't such a frenzy. Have we just trained ourselves that we expect a frenzy, so when we don't have a frenzy, we're like, something must be wrong, when really this is starting to normalize what the process for buying a home was before?
Well, I think you could say it could be a couple of things, mm-hmm. right? So when people go in the house... they're looking for open most of the time. That's what I'm hearing people say. I'm not hearing them say we like compartmentalized rooms, although that also has changed a little bit since the pandemic happened, because you did need compartmentalized rooms. You
right.
didn't want to hear so-and-so over there on their webinar.
Yeah.
You wanted them to have a door that you could close so that you could hear yourself think.
Mm-hmm.
And you got several people doing webinars, and if you're all in the same open space, then that makes you go crazy.
Right.
So dated. Let's just talk about dated. Mm-hmm. Really, is that, you know, so when...
is that even a thing anymore?
When I was buying my first house, it was like, I don't know, I don't even think I thought about it. Mm-mm. You know, I knew that whatever was there, as long as it was good structure and the location that I wanted, I could change just about anything, right?
I think dated comes and goes based on the market. If you have a plethora of homes on the market and you have fewer buyers, the fewer buyers that are out there, they're going to flock to the house that that looks prettier.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But another thing that we're seeing, though, is we're starting to see some of the big major corporations pulling back their employees from home, and they want mm-hmm. them, and you can read the articles,
yeah.
that they're pulling people back from home and saying, no, we want you in the office.
Right.
And I don't understand that, to be honest with you. I really don't. Obviously, people were able to perform, even under duress, on the fly, to be able to do that. So what do you guys think is the reason that people want to pull their people back into the office?
Well, I think that, one, we have these giant... they spent a lot of time creating an office environment that they now need to maintain, so they might as well put you back in there. But their methodology, I think, also is you can more control the way that your work is being done if the employees are in a particular setting.
I agree.
And so even though it may not have impacted the overall performance, it's about controlling the climate and the structure. And so they're like, so get back in the building.
Well, I mm-hmm. actually think there's also maybe some, the word cohesion.
Yes.
Is coming back into mm-hmm. play, where the CEOs, CFOs feel that bringing the people back in and seeing face to face and working face to face is maybe more productive than yeah. doing a Zoom call. Because I tell you what, I'm so tired of Zoom calls, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do them and I participate, but it's fun being with your coworkers.
And it does. I mean, if we're looking at overall productivity, yeah, you might get more work done, but it might not be the most efficient way to get the work done. And it might not be the most, there is a variety of that connectedness that I think some businesses benefit from.
Well, mm-hmm. it's just
so that
like,
does make a difference.
It's just
too.
Like you mm-hmm. as an actor, mm-hmm. right? So you've got a crowd.
Yes.
That's in front of you.
It's
you
much easier emotionally, you know, to be
that.
Able to, yeah. And you can pivot and you can change the way that you are communicating based upon body language between that. It's also easier to keep people engaged. Mm-hmm. When you can see them and you look at them right face to face, you are probably going to get more engagement than you get, although, you know, when people are in all their different environments. So that's the main difference as
but
well.
What about morale?
Okay. Lots of those things. So, you know, I think that morale, it's a variety. It depends on the person, the people's personality. So I always want to encourage people to be part of the Red Hot Real Estate Show. We do need to go to break, but when we come back, we want to go to Chris. Chris, we'd love to have you be part of the show. So hopefully be patient with us. You'll be the first thing we talk to when we get back. For everyone else out there, please be part of the show as well. The number is 651-641-1071. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. I'm Ms. Shannon here with Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results. Also joining us from Cross Country Mortgage, the indomitable Phil Olson is with us as well.
Wow, that's a big word.
You can be part of the show. Call us at 651-641-1071. Just like Chris. Chris, thank you for your patience. Do you have some comments regarding what you consider scam brokers? What do you mean by that, Chris?
Hello.
Hi. Yeah,
good morning.
Yes, no, we're not going to get into it, but here's my quick little PSA. First of all, my niece is an executive in a large local, not going to name any names type business, but the reason they are bringing people in the office, just as an aside, is because people were working extra jobs like Shift and DoorDash when they were supposed to be doing their job, or watching their grandchildren, you know, they ruined it. Some people ruined it for everybody, and that's why they have to bring them back in. So there's that, too. Anyway, so
yep.
I wanted to just give you the opportunity, because I know it doesn't sound genuine coming from you because it's your job, but these online broker firms that are advertising on TV, like the Rocket Mortgages, and I had never heard of this till Thursday, Mr. Cooper. I have a good friend who is supposed to close on a home, new build. We're not going to get into that at all, next Friday. And pretty much has been told it's not going to happen. Now, again, we're not going to give the details, but it at first looked like it was the mortgage. It's just some random person updated them the week before that, hey, your yard's not in yet, so we can't do an appraisal. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know that's not right. I mean, long story short, and I just spoke with Phil, and this is my big endorsement. he's not working with me right now on a mortgage, not yet. But he took my phone call. He gave me his input. He said he'd help these poor people out if they need to jump ship. And that's huge. They don't have an advocate on the mortgage side at all.
Right.
And they're talking to some dude on the phone in out east.
Right.
It's not happening. It's not going. They might lose this house.
Aww. Well, thank you. And we understand what you're saying. And I understand what you're saying. And I won't necessarily call them scam brokers. I understand why you would use that terminology, Chris. But what we have mentioned before is that there's a difference between having an advocate that's local, that you can talk to, that they're an actual person like Phil that will advocate for you, versus what we've said before. With those companies, it really does require you to have everything lined up just to fit their particular online program. Yep. Versus someone right. like Phil that's going to sit there and work with all of the pieces. So thank you for sharing that story, Chris. Yes. We appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Chris.
So, yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks. And so that is like the difference, you know, when we do go, well, if you have, you know, if you fit this particular mold and this methodology and this cookie cutter thing, it may work for you. Well, it's just
It might work.
It's just highly likely that you may not be that
you
person.
You know, this is why that there's different stores.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because not every store appeals to everybody.
Right.
Okay. So I will say it's been my experience that as a realtor, if I have a client that tells me that they're approved with a company that is not local,
right.
that I can't actually drive and get to their office, then I have cause for pause.
Right.
Because I know how our world is. We work, you know, when we have to work. We don't have set hours, unfortunately. If you said, you know, I need to go see a house at 5:30 on a Friday, and I said, oh, sorry, I don't take calls to after 5:01.
Right.
Well, there are certain companies that's how they, that's their bank. When you say banker's hours, that's
they
what
still
they
do
mean.
That. Right.
You know, yeah. 5:01, there's nobody answering the phone.
This last week, I literally took a call at 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. I was still up.
Yeah.
I was watching the news. The client called me. It was a My Talker, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And they called me and they go, oh my God, you're picking up. I was just going to leave a message.
Right.
And I go, so what's wrong? She goes, I'm worried.
Yes.
I go, what you worried about? And we chit chatted for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I can't tell you the number of times clients call me and they go, oh my God, it's actually you.
Right.
I pick up my phone religiously, guys.
Mm-hmm. And then you've said that before, Mimi, as well, that people are like, oh, wait, you're the lady on the radio. I didn't expect you to be the person that actually was feeling the call when it isn't. And I love that you did that. And we can't say we always do that. And I'm not saying that they can blow you up in the middle of the night. But yes, being able to get that peace of mind because you know that the person is actually familiar with you. You're not going to go, well, I call this number. I go into a bank of phones and who's going to suggest end up talking to me.
Okay, so let's just pick apart another thing that Chris said that stuck out to me.
Yes.
Is that the deal was going to blow up and
right.
she didn't have anybody that they could reach.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So let's talk about a couple of things that just pop into your mind about what causes a deal to blow up at the very last part of the whole thing.
First off, a deal should never, ever blow up in the very end.
Right.
All right. What that tells me is whoever issued the pre-approval did not do their due diligence. They didn't do their due diligence on the property. They didn't. See, as a mortgage guy, I look at your property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at what the value is. I'm looking at all the pictures online. Oh, there's been times where I've called Mimi and I go, Mimi, have you seen this picture? All right. And we look at it and we go, oh my God, there's peeling paint.
That's going to be a problem.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at everything. My staff looks at everything up front. We fast track our files so we get our loans approved so that they're approved up front to where we're subject to title and appraisal.
Right.
And guess what? Title we'll get in about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Appraisal we'll get in about 2 weeks. All right. Depending on the location and depending on the type of property. It is. Now, if it's a $1.5 million home, we might need two appraisals. And
right.
oh, by the way, that might take a month to get back.
Fair enough.
But it really comes down to no loan should be denied 3 days prior to closing. And if it does, I will tell you, the mortgage lender didn't do their job. Your mortgage loan officer didn't do their job. And I'm sorry to say, your real estate agent didn't do their job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe.
it goes into one of those three categories. Right. Okay.
I can think of an example. Okay. I can think of an example where that would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
When you first pulled credit and student loans didn't show up or forbearance. And then right when you do the last minute pull, things showed up.
I would agree with you 100% in that specific scenario, but you're talking about a one-off right now.
I am talking about a one-off, but it can happen where it's nobody's fault.
Okay. So what I'll tell you going back, 99% of the time, this should have been figured out up front. All right. And also, you know, in this situation, I know more about Chris's situation. It really comes down to there was stuff in the contract that was not understood.
Fair enough.
And or was not read by the lender. All right. But I'm not going to go into that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But there was things that could have been done that should have been done up front that my shop, the Olson team, we would have uncovered. Done. We would have uncovered.
Can you give us such as?
A such as.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Such as. I hear the words, clients calling me and they say, hey, we're going to buy this property. And oh, by the way, it's in a trust.
Okay.
All right. Automatically, I think of the words trust. Has it cleared probate? Is there issues? I'm calling the title company. I'm running to see, do we have a first, second, or third mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
Is there maybe a modification that was done on the property? I mean, sometimes these properties where a client dies, they just want to get rid of.
Right.
But guess what? There's things maybe that should have been covered that weren't covered.
Right.
Okay. So when we come back, we'll keep talking about ways to save money on real estate and mortgage.
You can also be part of the show. Call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on MyTalk 1071. Also available on MyTalk1071.com. We always appreciate you being on part of the show. You can call us at 651-641-1071. We know that our producer, Sonny, is over there feverishly getting her fingers on the phone. So don't worry. Just be patient with us, everybody.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sonny, she's just got...
She's busy.
Yes.
Very busy.
Yeah. Okay.
But she hasn't sang for us yet today.
Well, there's always time.
Exactly.
She got that beautiful voice.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
She does. Okay. Real estate. I have seen people going so far out, and then now we're seeing people that want to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me. Honestly, that's what keeps this job interesting, because... You know, what was good for me yesterday is not necessarily good for me today.
Right. Right.
Just fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, Phil, give us a story.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a story. Got a great story. I had a client that applied for a conventional loan. Credit score was a 667.
Okay.
And yes, with a 667, I can go all the way down to a 620, even down to a 580 on a conventional.
Right.
But we need to understand the interest rate is much, much higher with a 667 than if you're over 740.
Right.
So I did a credit analysis. I went to the bureaus, did a complete credit breakdown for the client. Told the client that I want you to do these two things.
Right.
The client did them immediately. The report I pulled said their score would go up to 720.
Mm-hmm.
I submitted everything, did one-liner updates, and did a completely rapid rescore for the client.
Right.
Got that all back in 8 days. Guess what their new credit score is? 720.
Wow.
And guess what? Here's the big thing. Saves them $250 a month
mm-hmm.
in rate, mortgage insurance, and homeowners insurance.
Right.
Have you ever seen him look so excited?
I know. He's like, look how much money I saved you.
Right, exactly. Where's the commercial that does it?
So, right. I mean, there's so many ways. Our kind of our subject today is how do you save money in a mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've got basically 12 items here. Okay.
And so, let me, before you get into it, part of the reason why we're doing that again is reminding people that the panic that you have about, oh, the rates are going up, I miss my opportunity, all of those things, that's not necessarily the case, because Phil is going to figure out a way to overall make sure that your payment is one that you're going to be able to do. And then we'll worry about the next step. Like, because if Phil needs to work with you, when they're ready, right?
I've worked with clients up to 2 years.
Right. And that's sometimes you just have to put a lot of different pieces together in your puzzle to get to what you want. So you don't have to, you know, don't go, oh, I shouldn't even try because I can't do it next Tuesday, so I'm not going to bother to work on the process.
Believe it or not, the worst buyer I always get, and I still love them, mm-hmm. all right, but the worst buyer is the buyer that wasn't planning on buying.
Yes.
And they see that house, and then they call me, and they go, Phil, I need you to get me pre-approved today. I found the beautiful house, and we're going to write an offer on it today. And guess what? No planning was done.
Right.
Listen, that happens all the time. And I tell people, do not look. Don't look. Because you know, if you're looking, you will find it.
If I go into a store and there's a sale, I'm going to see something.
Right.
I should make sure, but you need to make sure you have room on your card. So we always appreciate it. So, Phil, we're going to get to that real quick. I do appreciate that. We also appreciate everybody calling. So, Robert, thank you very much for calling into 651-641-1071. We did do part of this morning. We were talking about you helping people know when's the right time to refinance. And I believe that's part of your question. Correct, Robert?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. My husband and I bought our house a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
and now I turned 40 this year, and my husband turns up. We're talking about at what point do we refinance to make sure that by the time our house is paid off, it's not at the same time we're retiring.
Right.
But we've also talked about what does our retirement look like in our home. And do we want to go buy that lake cabin up north so that we could retire to the lake like everybody else?
Okay, well, that's kind of a two-fold question there.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, Robert, thank you for the call.
Right.
We don't know how old you want to be when you retire, but it's good for you to be doing all this stuff while you're still working and while you still have your mortgage, because your appreciation in your home is, you know, we've talked about it. That's a really good resource to be able to tap into. And Phil, as far as qualifying somebody for a second home while they're still working, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I think this is a twofold question. One is you're wanting to maybe pay off your house and maybe go to a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. All right. But when you do that, understand your payment's going to go up. And by you getting into a 15-year fixed, it might impact your ability to purchase that second home.
Okay.
So with a client like this, since we've got two different things or two different aspirations, this is a great client for me to work with. Sit down, get the application, look at the numbers, and do some planning, because
which one should come first?
Can they be done simultaneously? Mm-hmm. And if we're going to do them simultaneously, what is the impact? And here's the big word, debt to income ratio.
Fair enough.
All right. Because we could literally have this client refinance to a 15 to find out that they don't have enough now discretionary income to be able to qualify for the second home.
Because the payment went up on a 15.
Right.
Correct.
Yes. And so that changed the debt to income.
Correct.
Okay. So Robert.
I work two loans simultaneously in this situation. I work up the debt repayment on the primary residence, and then I work up a plausible scenario for the second home and see if we can merge them, because I have to basically make both of these loans work together.
So in the meantime, would Robert then be working with Mimi to say, here's the type of property that we want to look, or do you give Mimi a number for Robert? So Robert, am I helping you, or am I making it more complicated?
No, absolutely. That's great, because part of it is that because we're still in our 40s, we know that we'll be here for at least the next 20 years.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And because of our age gap, we thought about like, oh, if we buy, like, let's say, just a plot of land for $20,000-$30,000 on a lake somewhere in Brainerd.
Oh, good luck on that one. I don't know where you find a $20,000-$30,000 lake lot on Brainerd.
Yeah,
but
that's called fairy dust right there.
But what you could do, like, what about this? Because we talked about this before. So, Robert, how does this sound? What if Phil and Mimi could help you find a property that eventually will be your retirement property, but is that something that they can VRBO or they can Airbnb it for part of the time, sure, or how does that work?
It depends on whether there's any
if you got an association,
yes.
Okay. HOA, mm-hmm. All right, we'd want to make sure that the HOA allows that.
Okay.
But, I mean, on a second home, we've talked about that in previous shows.
Right.
You could Airbnb this property 49% of the year.
Right.
Okay, without breaking the rules mm-hmm. of a second home.
And then you'd still mortgage. Have it available for when you're prepared to have it be your forever home, Robert.
And you'd want a vacation in your own vacation home
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Just see if you like it.
Yes.
Because you don't want to buy the home and then absolutely. Now I moved up here and now I'm like, I live up here and I don't even like this lake.
So. Yeah, now I want to buy the giant RV and move to the south.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You're like, we're just going to go on the road. We're a nomad land this. So who knows, Robert? So that gives you options, right?
Yes. Robert, this is a great scenario. I love working with clients yes. with this because it allows me to expand my horizons and be really thinking outside the box right. for a client like this. This is fun for me.
Yeah. Well, so couldn't he just pull some equity out of there and use for his down payment to get started? He could do it today.
Sure.
Yeah.
He could do a bridge loan against the primary, or he could take a home equity, or he can do his refinance, pull cash out, buy the second home. There's so many possibilities.
I don't
here.
Know, Robert. I think I see a canoe in your future.
Exactly. It'll be fun. And I'm glad that you sound so optimistic about this, Robert, because that's a lot of what we want to do is encourage all of our My Talkers. Yes, we're not saying that everything is a super easy thing. But if you work with Mimi and Phil and they can, like, this should be fun.
It is fun.
Is supposed to be like you looking for, as you said, aspirations,
right.
like helping people achieve these goals and go. And it should be fun. Not always. Oh, my gosh, I'm so miserable. And being able to work with a plan and a proper team is what keeps the fun in it instead of, because there's a lot of studies out there to talk about how buying a home is so stressful for people. And you guys help take the stress out.
I tell you what, you know, Phil and I both see some wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so unbelievably rewarding right now in this tough market. And but the thing that I think that we both do is that we really talk with our clients about what the realities are and how to plan around what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does take a village, really,
right.
To make it all work well. Phil?
I mean, you've hit another subject for me to really talk about is, you know, working with Mimi and I, it's not just Mimi and I.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lawyers, mm-hmm. we've got accountants, we've got CPAs, we've got people in the trades. So working with Mimi and I, you allow us to bring in our sphere of influence
right.
to help you. And it's not like you're put off on an island, okay, where the person you're working with goes, well, you figure it out.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had some of that with our first home purchase. And the home that we purchased a year and a half ago here in the west side of St. Paul, we bought right before everything started going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when we see our property taxes valuation and our even like Zillow or whatever, like, oh, this is an estimate for your neighborhood, we're still seeing the house has gone up, even though we're talking a 100-year-old three-bedroom, one-bathroom home covered in lead paint and asbestos. No,
it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference.
Exactly.
That wouldn't surprise me. Your property's gone up 25% to 30%.
I'm in the same boat, Robert. I'm like, I'm glad I got in when I got in and worked with everybody because, like, yeah, they're getting more money out me, my taxes. But I'm like, there are worse problems to have.
But for those that
exactly.
Don't, mm-hmm. But for those that don't have ownership,
right?
The longer they're out of the market, the more money they lose.
Phil, I can't even tell you the number of people who have said, I can't take it. I'm pulling out, man. I can't do it. And I'm like, you know, hang in there. Just hang in there mm-hmm. because we see interest mm-hmm. rates the way they're going and property values 17%+ year over year. It isn't going to get better anytime that I can see. And I don't know, Phil.
I'm still thinking we're at least a year and a half, two years before we maybe see not a dramatic change, but we'll see It'll be different.
Okay.
It'll be different.
Okay.
Than where we're at right now.
And Robert, I can't wait to follow up with you and Phil and Mimi when you're like, oh, here's what I decided to do. And here's Robert, what we did. Robert, so when you get to report back.
Did we tell you that we all expect invitations to the housewarming parties?
Yes.
Too?
Whatever late.
Of course.
We'll
do something Memorial Day weekend.
Yes. Okay.
Awesome.
Mimi and I will bring great snacks. That'll be great.
I'll bring my bowl.
Perfect.
There we go. And Phil's got
a big bottle of sangria and we'll be set.
Awesome. Well done, Robert. Thank you so much for being part of the show. We'll catch up with you soon. Yeah. So that is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great.
I'm not really excited on Robert's behalf.
Right?
Right. Because I know that feeling. And so that's fantastic. No, we have options to be able to work it out.
Yeah.
So we're going to go into our next commercial break. But when we come back, what are we going to cover, Mimi?
Well, we're going to continue to try and cover.
Yes.
Ways to save money on real estate.
Right. You can also be part of the show. We will always take your call at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. Also available in podcast form. Just go to our website, mytalk1071.com. You can find this episode and previous episodes at your leisure.
Saving money.
Yes.
Who doesn't love it?
Exactly.
And we don't see enough of it.
No. No.
But there's many different ways to do it in the mortgage world. Mm-hmm. Many.
Oh, okay. Let's just start with one really savvy one.
Mm-hmm. How about paying down debt at closing versus putting more money down?
Okay. Okay.
So, client has $800 expenses outgoing,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to take $800 a month, and that's $17,000 to take care of that debt.
Right.
But they're going to buy a $300,000 home, and they're going to put 20% down, which is $60,000.
Okay.
Instead of putting the $60,000 down, we put $40,000 down. If their credit is great, we can go with one-time mortgage insurance.
Okay, which you mentioned
cheap,
that before.
Which is cheap. And then we take that $20,000 that they were going to put into their house and we pay off their debt. And now we've just freed up $800. All right, guess what? Their mortgage insurance with a one-time mortgage insurance is gone.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lower payment other than their payment went up slightly by $20,000. That's only $100 a month.
Okay.
But hold one here. I just wiped out $800 worth of debt.
Right. Which always
feels
better.
So now you're going into this house, mm-hmm. $700 more liquid on a monthly basis.
Right.
Great scenario there to save a client money.
Okay. So let's talk about the appraisal gap that's out there that everybody's, you know, concerned about, and duly so. Pretty much, I would say most sellers are expecting some sort of appraisal gap coverage. And what that is, if you've never heard of it, is when an appraisal comes in, if in particular in a multiple offer situation and bids go up and over exponentially over what the list price is, if the list price is listed correctly with supporting comps. So you buy it, you happen to win the bid.
Yes.
And you know that there are no comps that support the price that you offered.
Right.
So the difference between what the appraisal comes in at and what you offered is the appraisal gap.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to plan about how you're going to use your available cash. So your available cash is going to go to your down payment, whatever percent down. It's also going to go into your closing costs, and it's going to go towards that, the appraisal gap. And so keep in mind when you are making your purchase agreement and you're putting down what program you're using and how much you're putting down on your down payment. And let's just say that you don't do a very strong appraisal gap in your contract, or maybe you don't do anyone at all. They can still come back and say, we want you to put X dollars from your down payment and towards the appraisal gap, because you can actually still qualify for conventional financing with as low as 5%, maybe 3%. So, Phil, you know, I know you're talking with your clients about appraisal gaps because this is a real scenario.
And this is a new-ish scenario,
talking about it all the time.
In the last 2 years, you have seen it a lot.
I never heard of the word in 22 years of doing this until the last 2 years. But let me throw a different spin on this. So now that we're talking about an appraisal gap, we can use a bridge loan.
Okay.
We can use a bridge loan to cover the appraisal gap as well.
And so, Okay, so that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good. So how does somebody go about setting that up ahead of time so that that is in play when you're ready to write your offer?
I can do a bridge loan in 7 to 10 days. I work up your file as a purchase, whatever the down payment is, whatever the purchase price is, I get you pre-approved. And then I take all your documents, I set up a new loan as a bridge loan, and I get your bridge loan approved before you even start going shopping. And we also build in the thought of, okay, if we need additional cash, how much do we need to cover an appraisal gap?
Right.
And then we build that into the bridge loan.
Okay.
And so in order to know what they would qualify for a bridge loan, they would have to provide you with what documentation?
My standard loan documentation, and depends on the amount of equity they have in their home. We'll then determine if we can use what's called an AVM, automatic value,
okay,
where you don't have to have an appraisal, or if our loan to value is higher, more than likely we would need an appraisal on that property. So a bridge loan could take longer if we have to get an appraisal on your property.
And so, for instance, Ms. Shannon and I are looking, and this is a strategy that she's going to implement,
right?
Using a bridge loan on her existing property.
Yes.
And I provide Ms. Shannon with comps on her house.
Right.
Yep.
Would that be acceptable documentation to your underwriters?
No, not for the bridge.
Okay.
But guess what? I can take that CMA market analysis, and then I have a much better idea of what I think the house is going to appraise for. And now I can start running numbers off of the CMA into the bridge loan analysis.
So you can tell me before we get to the point where we need that actual appraisal if we're going to be in the right ballpark.
I just closed a loan where I worked with the client 2 months ago, got their bridge loan 10 days after their initial application, and they just made an offer here. It was like 3 weeks ago, and they already closed on their bridge loan, and their money's in their bank account. They're already ready for their closing on their primary residence.
Right.
And in that scenario, we did use the bridge to get an additional $20,000 because we wrote up the offer with a $20,000 appraisal gap.
Right.
And guess what? We only needed to use five.
Okay.
The house appraised for $5,000 less than the property.
Perfect.
But we had the bridge available.
I tell you what, everybody ought to give a high five to our appraisers out there, man. Mm-hmm. They have got a tough job.
And it's heated up.
Oh,
right.
Man. Mm-hmm. Just not enough of them. Mm-hmm. And their job right now is just really challenging to be able to come up with valuation.
Right.
Because we're seeing like exponential increases over over ask. It'd be nice, wouldn't it be nice, Phil? I'm gonna go into like my wizard land. If you know, a buyer could just buy it for whatever they want, and I think that house is worth $1 million, but the comps only say 400. So
if you're a cash buyer, you can do that.
I know,
all day long.
I'm just saying. I think I think you should appeal. You know, your process.
I will write a letter to the federal government to see if we can get that approved.
Let us just pick numbers out of a hat.
How about that?
Yeah, okay. Roll the dice.
Yes.
Oh, it's all right.
I'm going to give a word out to my fellow realtors out there.
Mm-hmm.
Be really careful about the interest rate that you plug into the purchase agreement for your clients. Know that if somebody is tight on their money and it's going to make a big difference if that interest rate swings a half a point, make sure that you are factoring that in so that they understand, because you could really cause somebody to not qualify for a loan if they really can only go up to a certain interest point.
I really think you've made a great point. For the real estate agents out there, you should be in contact with your loan officers that got the approval.
Mm-hmm.
And as interest rates are going up, guess what? It's going to impact purchasing power.
Mm-hmm.
And you might find out that, hey, we had a search set up for 400 that now needs to be scaled back to 375. And that's really a conversation that the agent and the loan officer should be having with the consumer. And they should be doing it as this client is continuing the process of looking at homes. Otherwise, the client is set up for disaster.
Disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. You know, you don't want your search to be all the way up to your 100% max. you have to factor in that most likely the house is going to go over
right.
what your search is. And then you've also got to factor in your available cash so that you're not topping over the apple cart. You've
right.
got to be conservative in that regard. And your agent needs to understand your financial picture just as much as your loan officer so that they're not making an accidental mistake
right.
because they don't know what your cash position is.
Yep.
So if you've got questions about real estate and mortgage, we encourage you to message us during the week. You can email Mimi at mnredhotrealestate.com.
And you can reach me at 651-238-6748.
Right. And we will see you guys next week. I know there's so much more that we can talk about regarding how you can save money on real estate and mortgages. So I know that we're going to dip in here
yeah.
too again.
And we really appreciate all of our listeners that give us a call. It makes the show so much more fun for us. And thank you very much.
Fun.
So make
Love
sure
it.
You listen to us again next week. We'll see you then. You can always hear this episode and previous episodes. Go to mytalk1071.com. Keyword red hot.